about to hear a life-changing message that was preached at the Kodesh Family Church Memphis by Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay. Now relax and be blessed as you hear this anointed word.
It gets sweeter and sweeter, day by day, yes it does.
The most powerful time of today. Amen. I'm reminded in Matthew 4 where the devil came to tempt Jesus at his lowest point. He tempted him with the flesh. Jesus said, it is written. He tempted him with the pride of life. Jesus said, it is written. And he tempted him with the wealth of the world. But Jesus said, get thee this, Satan, for it is written. Amen. It's no wonder, it's inevitable that Satan has tempted you this week. But it is written is about to come to you. Amen. And God has anointed a powerful man of God, a prophet of God, a powerful pastor that's dear to our heart, dear to God's own heart, to bring to you, it is written. Amen. So lift yourself out of your seats. Please lift yourself out of your seats. And please welcome our powerful prophet, our father, Reverend Kojo Orleans.
Clap for the Lord Jesus.
Those who know
your name,
put their trust in you. There is no other faithful than me, so loving and true. Those who know. They put their trust in you. There is no other faithful God. So loving and true. Hey. Oh, how I love the name of Jesus. Oh, how I love his name so sweet. Oh, how I love the name of Jesus. No other name is more to me. How I love, oh, how I love the name. So sweet. Oh, how I love the name of Jesus. No other name is more to me.
Give the Lord a shout of praise. May your Jericho walls break down in Jesus' name. Some of you, I am more than 50 by the grace of God or above, but I jump higher than you. It looks like you are growing older, I'm growing younger. If you are young, sing, oh, how I love the name of Jesus. Oh, how I love his name, so sweet. Oh, how I love the name of Jesus. No other name is more to me. Give three people a nice smile and a high five. Tell the person, I'm blessed to be here. I am blessed to be here. And now you may sit down on top of your enemies. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Wow. What a blessing to be in a church that exercises to the glory of God. We exercise our voices, we exercise our muscles, and we exercise, more important, our spirits in prayer. Yeah. So it's a very important thing. You know, Sister Sharon says something that when the devil came to Jesus, all he did was say, it is written. This week is an it is written week. Clap for the Lord Jesus. It is written. Last week we brought our feelings. This week we are responding, it is written. We are going to take the Torah, take the New and the Old Testament, and tell the devil, it is written. It is written. It is written. What is written is what we shall pray about. hour after hour, we will enter promotion upon promotion, development after development, maturity to maturity. In Jesus' name. Tell somebody, I can't wait for the glory of God. That seem is arise, shine, for thy light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon your life. You will see the difference by the end of the week, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we bless your name. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Be magnified in our lives. Be exalted. Let your word have free course. We bind the principalities of Memphis and of Bartlett. We bind every work of Satan. We declare that the blood of Jesus Christ will secure us and give us access to the holy place where all your goodness comes. The throne of grace is what we come before. May everything that we do here, may you be the subject and the object of what we are doing and saying. In Jesus Christ's mighty name, amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, today I would like to talk about what I call honor relationships. Honor. Honoring somebody. Honor relationships. Honor relationships. Okay. Relationships that have to do with honor. Honor. You know, every relationship has something that keeps it going. And so long, when you lose that thing, you lose a relationship. You thought it was just that thing you're losing, but you're losing the relationship. For example, the relationship between a husband and a wife. That thing that keeps it together is not love. It's not love. If it was love, then our first crush. Now, I would be married to Laura by now. My Laura, that I remember I dreamt and I was chasing the plane that took Laura to London. Stop! And I held the plane in my dream. When I woke up, I was still trying to raise and tears was flowing my eyes. It's like a movie. Unfortunately, I was not Spider-Man to catch on the plane. So it's not love. All those things, I feel goose pimples. I feel something I don't feel when you're around. I feel like something I don't feel around people. My feelings are different from feelings of others because of the feelings you bring to my feelings. What is all that? What keeps a marriage going is trust. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Trust. Trust. Somebody who shares a room with you, shares your food, shares your money, shares your children, shares your life. You don't even know what love is. These days, I don't say I love you, I say I like you. It's deeper. Love is corrupted. So I'm rather, let's tell you, I like you, Ruth, I like you. Yeah, it has more meaning. But Mike, I really like you. You're a nice person. I really like you. I'm serious. You're a nice person. If you're one of the best people in my life. I like you very much. Okay? That's the truth. I like my members. Doris, I really like you. Sometimes you are some way, but I like you, pa. Yeah. I like her. I even want her to be on my prayer team, but she doesn't like me that much. But guess what? Every relationship has what it requires. You, if you say you love somebody, break trust and see whether the love will exist. Yeah. The two commonest things that break marriage is money and unfaithfulness. These two. Not your love is gone down. One person said, but you don't say you love me anymore, but she didn't leave. Then the person said, look, on the wedding day, I told you I love you. I've not changed my mind. Why do you want me to say it again? Well, it's not I still love you. That's why I'm still here. You see, the person didn't leave. But you dare go and then you are sleeping around with somebody, that's what breaks marriages. Trust. Okay, so every relationship has what it is. Bible says in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24, he that has friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. A man who has friends must show himself friendly. What keeps friendship going is when you show yourself friendly. Okay? Anything, relationship that you want to keep, don't depend on what other people bring to the table. Bring that into the table. You'll get it on your table. Whatsoever you want to sow, you want to reap, sow it. That's the way to do it. Okay? So a relationship breaks when you stop sowing that thing that keeps the relationship going. Okay? So keep that thing going. Keep friendship. There's a friend. A man that has friends must show himself friendly. You see, many of us, if I start, sometimes if a pastor likes me more than you, what are you saying? You see, but I have to show myself friendly. I have to smile when I see you. Sometimes I even pick up your baby. One person came and thrust her baby into my arms like that. I said, what are you doing? She said, you have never held my baby before. I'm standing in front of that person. I won't mention her name, though. Because, you know, she may get angry. She thrust the baby. I said, hey, what is this? Shoved her. She said, take her. I said, why? She said, you've never held my baby before. I felt really bad. So I held the baby. I cuddled the baby. I kissed the baby. I even lay hands on the baby. From that day, I carry the baby. From that day, when I see people's babies, I make sure that I try. Amen. Yeah, show myself friendly. Especially when the baby's a girl. Clap for the Lord Jesus. You know, my wife, she's here today, so I can't say she can't have a baby. She can't have a girl. You know? If she wasn't here, I would have told you she cannot have a girl. But I'll never say it because she's here. Never say it. I may have problems at home, so I will never say it. Last week I told you, but this week I won't say it. Clap for the Lord Jesus. I know what brings me peace. I don't want to break the relationship. Now, listen carefully. Now, honor is required when it comes to relationships that are higher than you. What keeps relationships higher than you is honor. Okay? When it comes to your mother, it is not playing, showing yourself friendly. That keeps the relationship. It's honoring your mother. It's honoring. When it comes to even marriage, the husband, it is the, when they like to be respected. The ladies like to be loved. It's the truth. Yeah. When it comes to God, reverence, honor. Reverence is what keeps people, the relationship with you, with God. Bible says, like the man Cornelius, he was a devout man. He loved God. Okay? He honored God. He gave and he prayed. He was a devout man. God saw that, man, this guy has something that I want to honor him with. He needs something for all the honor. I will honor him. He says that, let me read a verse to you. So, you can see where I'm going with this. It says that Romans 13, 7. Render therefore to all their dues. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom to whom custom is due. Fear to whom fear or reverence is due. And then honor to whom honor is due. Clap for Jesus. Hallelujah. Give what is due to the person you're dealing with, what is rightful at that time. So honor is due God. Okay, honor is what keeps things going when it comes to God. So I'm going to give you maybe a couple of authority figures in your life and how to relate. And I will use it to make a statement before we close. Number one is God, the Father. Honor the Father. And it will give life to your relationship with him. Honor God the Father. Okay? I'm talking about honor that gives life to these authority relationships. Number one is God. Honor God. Reverence God. Respect God. Okay? Respect God. Respect God. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. This is a passage about Saul. Saul was chosen. He didn't have anything. He didn't know anything. 1 Samuel chapter 1, he was chosen. By chapter 2, ending, he was dismissed. Yeah. Let me show you 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel chapter 1. 1 Samuel. Is it? It's not 2nd. First. Now, there was a certain man of Ramoth. 2 Samuel, right? Where did God anoint Saul? Are you sure? Where he said, I'm anointing you. Oh, chapter 10. 1 Samuel chapter 10. No, that's where he anointed him. Now, in 1 Samuel chapter 10, God was actually anointing Saul. Right? And he made him a different man. He was looking for donkeys. He was somebody who was nobody at all. And God anointed him. And he disrespected God. And it wasn't well with him. Hallelujah. But let me read this, and God dismissed him because he didn't honor God. He tried to honor people instead of honoring God. And that was the end of him. Some of our relationships with God, when we please people rather than God, we lose our relationship with God. And that's the most important relationship. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, please. Let's read it. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30. Maybe read verse 29 first. Now, this is about, you know, Eli, prophet Eli, the one that trained Samuel. Little Samuel became somebody God chose over the Eli who gave him the place because of dishonor. Now, listen, he told Eli, why do you kick at my sacrifice and my offering, which I have commanded in my dwelling place? And honor your sons more than me. Yeah. Some of us, our children are more important than God. Yeah. Why do you do that? To make yourselves fat with the best of all the offerings of Israel, my people. Then verse 30 says, therefore the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. Do you know that Eli was going to be prophet forever with his household? But God changed his mind. But now the Lord says, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. When you see anybody who is honorable, one of the cardinal things is that they honor God. It's the truth. Ever since I started a life of respecting and honoring God, my life has been highly esteemed, highly upgraded. Honoring God has upgraded my life. Dishonoring God downgraded Eli's life and that of his children. From now, I want us to honor God. How do we honor God? By praising God and worshiping him, by being humble before him. Even the position that you take when you are praying is a sign of honor. It's a sign of honor. Okay? You honor God by reverencing the things that relate to God. Putting his things first. And when this Eli put his children first before God, he lost his honor. I see God promoting you this week. I see God promoting you this year. Because your reverence towards him is going to be elevated. Another way that we honor God is in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9. Bible says, honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruit of your increase. I proclaim and prophesy using the word of God that anybody who is into tithing this year, your life will escalate, will be promoted in Jesus' name. Amen. It honors God. You know, let me tell you something about honor. Honor is not something you do when you're honoring your mother. When my parents were alive, I used to send them money every month. But my parents have 11 children who were doing the same. And they really didn't need my money. But I honored them not because they needed it, but because I respected them. I wanted to keep the spiritual nature of my relationship with my parents as authority figures so that the blessing on their lives would be upon me. The blessing that they speak will be upon me. Yeah. Even my wife's father is alive. I honor him. Because an authority. The person who raised this baby to adulthood, to this beauty for me to, is now alive. I need to respect and keep that relationship such that whatever blessing that was in his life that affected this lady will also be on my life. Amen. Clap for the Lord Jesus. So honor is important to sustain the relationship with authority, and God's honor must be kept. When we come and we are worshiping God, do not be somebody looking on your phone. That's dishonoring. That's this disregarding the presence of God. When I come to this place, many of you who come to church early, you will see the first thing I do is what? I kneel down. Why haven't you been doing it? You come and you just walk. You are big. Yeah, the first thing I do, I don't mind you. I come and kneel down. Even if the church service has started, I kneel down and I pray to God. It's honor. And I'm not doing it for you. That's what I do all the time. Anytime I'm praying, I kneel down to pray. Yeah, I even have a kneeling place in my house. Even in the hotel, when I'm working, that's what I do. Yeah. Because when you kneel down, it's a posture. And it also says that I'm not in a rush. Because when you're on your knees, I can go and pick up. But on my knees, it takes something to get up. Yeah. And it cuts you into half. It brings you down. Say, God, you're too high. I can't be standing toe to toe. I'm cutting myself into half. To reverence you, it's humility. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Okay, because Bible says that humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and he will lift you up. You run faster on your knees when it comes to God than on your feet. Yeah, I'll say it again. Your life runs faster when it comes to things from God. They run faster when you're on your knees than when you're on your feet. So God is the one to honor, number one. Number two, honor Jesus Christ. Honor Jesus Christ. And it will give, honor Jesus, and it will give life to your relationship with Jesus. Matthew 10:40, Bible says that he that receives you receives me, and he that receives me receives him that sent me. Okay, so Jesus Christ is somebody we need to honor so that our lives will be upgraded. Mark chapter 6, verse 2, Bible says that, you know, Jesus Christ had done many miracles, and then when he came to his own town, he was not respected. And Jesus released this statement. He says, and when the Sabbath is come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this that is given to him, that such mighty works are performed by his hands? And then go on, verse 3. Is it not the carpenter, the son of Mary, a brother of James, Joseph, Judas, Simon? And are not his sisters and brothers here with us? So they were offended at him. He's a regular somebody. And Bible says in verse 4, But Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and among his own relatives and his own house. And listen to this verse, the next verse. Now he could there do no mighty works except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. Jesus couldn't do mighty works because he was not honored. He was not respected. He was not given what is due him. Many of us do not recognize Jesus Christ the way that we should. For example, when we come to prayer and we say that where Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. If you do not believe it, you are dishonoring him. If we say, for example, that prayer is going on, it's about you. But it's because Jesus said, when two agree,
wherever they are, and I'm there, they agree in principle, it will be done for them of my Father in heaven. That faith of believing that the presence of Jesus is there, that regard that makes you rise up and it's my hour of prayer, I'll pray, is honoring to Jesus. Because Jesus said, I am there. Because some people have gathered in my name, so join them, I am there. It's honor, respect to Jesus. And it builds a relationship. Anybody who does that, your relationship with Jesus Christ upgrades. It's the truth. It just becomes better. Why should it become better? Because when that relationship gets well, whatever that relationship brings to your life is poured in big quantities upon your life. I notice that whenever, even the relationship with my wife, if it becomes a bit stalled for whatever thing I am doing, or sorry, that she's doing, you realize that I don't get as much as I could get from her. Even the food tastes different. Yeah. When I get home, the home is different. The relationship has changed the atmosphere. Ladies and gentlemen, I can assure you, those who reverence Jesus, when I lay my hands on them, the atmosphere changes. I can feel the presence of God because they have faith. They reverence Jesus. Even when they say, I say, in the name of Jesus, the fervency with which they respond. Yeah. I tell you, reverence God. Reverence his presence. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's not possible to please him. For he that comes to him must believe that he exists, he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That means that it is those who reverence, who believe, who knows he is God, he's Jesus, who are rewarded. Because the relationship is a reward relationship. Bible says, what have you that you did not receive? So you need to honor God to get the blessings of God. You need to honor Jesus to get the things to bring an upgrade to the life of that relationship. You need to honor the Holy Spirit. Number three, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit needs to be honored in your life. Many Christians know how to honor God, how to honor Jesus, but they do not know how to honor the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is also called the anointing. The anointing. So honor the Holy Spirit and he will give life to your relationship with him. Now, the relationship with the Holy Spirit makes you a supernatural being. It makes you live a life superior to every other person's life. I'm living a superior life because I recognize the Holy Spirit in my life. A Christian without the Holy Spirit is a powerless Christian. Jesus said, I am go, that the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, will come. He even told the disciples, do not start your Christian lives until the promise of the Spirit will come to you, which is the Holy Spirit, which is the promise. So they went to the upper room in Acts chapter 2, and that's where they received the Holy Spirit. Filled them in the place, settled on them, and they began to speak and to prophesy, speak in tongues. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Now, the Holy Spirit comes in the form of the anointing. Okay? So, for example, I want you to be somebody who recognizes the Holy Spirit so that your life will be a blessing. I'm going to use one person in the Bible to give you the example so that you become like him. Okay? Now, David, Bible called him a man after God's own heart, who will do everything that is it. He's the one person that we know in the Bible. He was anointed 3 times. The anointing is the presence of the Holy Spirit. He was anointed 3 times. The first time, he was taking care of the sheep in the far side of the desert somewhere. Samuel came to anoint somebody in his house. He
looked every, God said, no, it's not him. Until they brought him. Immediately Samuel anointed him. He took his oil and he walked off. Because even Samuel didn't believe this little boy is the one that we're anointing. But God liked him. David loved the Holy Spirit. He was anointed again and then again, three times. How do I know that he loves the Holy Spirit? Because of what he said about the anointing. Listen to this. You see, listen to this. The Bible says about David several places, that several times that he refused to attack someone who was anointed with the Holy Spirit. Rather to honor someone who was anointed. Many places the Bible talks about David so nicely. Although he slept with somebody, Uriah's wife, got her pregnant, and then killed Uriah. There are many sins in your life that if all of us are just like that, we are not perfect. But one thing that sets you apart is when you recognize the Holy Spirit, the anointing. It didn't seem to matter to God. God gave him some punishment, threatened him and all, but because of a certain character in David's life, he became a favorite. May you be a favorite to God. Amen. Listen to this. He said, he was advised in Psalm 105, verse 15. It says, David said, touch not mine anointed, do my prophets no harm. The great psalmist. Now, sometimes people preach, but they don't do what they preach. But not David. So you will say this is what David wrote. But let's see what David did with the anointing. He said, David said, everyone here, touch not mine anointed, do my prophets no harm. You remember how Jesus said, a prophet is not honored. David honored prophets. Today I'm talking about the honor of the anointing on men of God that will bring you special grace and special blessings. And then David preached this. But what did he do? Let's look into his life. 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 6. All of you know how King Saul attacked David incessantly. I mean, David came and killed Goliath for Israel. And unfortunately, you know how ladies are. Ladies like power. Ladies like to see people who have fame. People who are, wow. So they started singing, David has killed, Saul has killed his thousands, but David his 10,000s. And they followed David with timbrels and harps. David, you are the hero. You are the Iron Man. You are the Superman. You are Mr. Spider-Man. Saul tried, but he could not. You're the man. So Saul got jealous. An evil spirit entered Saul. Yeah. And look at what happened. Saul became angry and started plotting to kill David. He tried through javelin, through swords and spears at him. Set him up to die. But God protected him because David loved the anointing. And the presence of God and his anointing was with him. And how did he manifest it? Even when he had an opportunity to kill Saul, who was God's anointed, look at his thing. He said in 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 6, and he said to his men, when he had Saul to kill him, somebody who's trying to kill you, who's driven you into the wilderness, and finally you see him, he told his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is anointed of the Lord. Wow, clap for this very honoring man. David honored the anointing on Saul, even though Saul was trying to kill him. That is the reason why, when it comes to the founder of this church, Bishop Dagwood Mills, when I see the many miracles that he's doing, I said, man, I want to be like David. I want to honor and respect the anointing upon his life. Because sometimes, because you don't know the man, or perhaps you don't even like light-skinned people, you may not, but it's the anointing upon him, the anointing upon his life. Yeah. I mean, some of you just don't like color. I mean, or you like color too much. Whatever it is. But he said,
Let's go beyond what the man is and see what is on the man. To see what is on the man. He said, don't touch. So he did not kill him. He taught his men. When somebody is anointed, we honor him. We don't despise him. We don't kill him. We don't speak against him. We don't strike him. And he caused his men to withdraw. The next thing, 1 Samuel 24, verse 10. Behold, this day your eyes have seen how the Lord delivered you today to my hand. He was telling Saul in the cave. Someone even urged me to kill you. That was Abishai. But my eyes spared you. Do you know what that means? My perception of what the anointing is. Sometimes you have to trust. If you can, your physical eye, try to see spiritual things. My eyes spared you. And I said, I will not put forth my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Amen. That was why David was anointed like that. David was the anointed cherub. He did this several times until, do you know something? When Saul died, David would have thought that this one, I didn't kill him. This one, he died himself. Bible says in 2 Samuel, I think, chapter 1, and I think verse number 14 or something. Yeah. Let's read that. David had been told that King Saul was dead, and the guy who apparently said, I killed him, came to report to David, I finished him. And look at what David said. How are the mighty fallen? Look at that scripture and the couple of verses before. He told him that you were not even afraid to come and report. Please bring that scripture up. I was surprised that David, of all the people, when they die, who you should rather deal with this guy. Verse 14. Maybe let's go up a little bit. Verse 13. Verse 12. 11, okay. And they mourned. And verse 10 is better even. So I stood over him. The guy told David, look, the guy was dying. Saul was dying. So I stood over him and killed him because I was sure that he could not live after he had fallen. And I took the crown that was on his head and the bracelet on his arm, and I brought them to you, my Lord. That is, the guy said, look, I've killed Saul, so you can be king. I know Saul was destroying you, trying to destroy you. But look at the response, verse 11. Therefore, David took hold of his own clothes and tore them. He said, what? Tore them. King Saul is dead. And so did all the men who were with him. Not only did David respect the anointing on his man of God, Saul, who taught him how to be, how to lead, how to be a king. He invited him to the palace. Saul, in spite of everything, David learned to actually honor him so that in his death, he tore his clothes, and all his men who knew that Saul was after him, he had taught them to honor the one who helped him to become king. Today, I want to teach you to honor Bishop Dag. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Amen. I want to teach you like David taught his men. Next week is Galatians 6:6. Next week is Honor Your Prophet Sunday. It's one day we've set apart to honor our pastor. And like David taught his men, that you may not know him. You may think that I have a problem. I don't have any problem. I'm not like David. Even there, I know many of you don't know him. Some of you have seen him. You've heard his messages. You've seen him on video, but you have not touched him. You have not related with him. But it's my duty, like David taught his men, to teach you that I didn't come here by myself. I didn't become a pastor by myself. The anointing you see on my life is actually an extension of a higher anointing. Amen. David taught his men that when you see the Lord has actually anointed me, it was Saul who invited David to come and to play the harp in the palace. And through playing the harp, the anointing that was upon David manifested to even cast out demons from Saul. That was when Saul took notice of him and started liking him. And that was through that he was even invited, come and fight Goliath. And his first ammo to fight was given by Saul. The first microphone that I ever used to preach was given by Bishop Dagi with Mills. So I'm speaking with passion. Next week, as we come for Galatians 6:6, I would want you to also respect the anointing on the man of God. Amen. On the man of God who taught me to hold the microphone. Amen. If I don't teach you, if, for example, you as a mother, you have grandchildren, and when you come to visit your daughter, your grandchildren are rude to you, then there's a curse on that child. Who did not teach her children to respect the mother that fed her to become who she is. And I will not take up that curse. I will teach you the right thing. Clap for the Lord Jesus. David took hold of his own clothes and tore them. So did all the men who were with him. I am going to be honoring him with my own sacrifice. So should all of you do. You should. I'm going to give you an envelope. That once, well, Pastor Appreciation Day, what you would have done for me, please do it for my father. Amen. For there's a higher anointing and a higher blessing that will come to you than what you get from me. I'm telling you. Amen. You love me. You love my preaching. You love my care for you. I never thought one day to ever become a minister of God. In fact, I wanted to become the minister of health. Yeah. I stood for elections the first time because I wanted to learn how to speak in public. Because I wanted to become the minister of health for my country. Yes. Yeah. And that's what I did, not knowing God had different plans. Until I met Bishop Dagi with Mills, very anointed man of God. Yeah. Through that, I got even, I entered the church. I got a wife. I became anointed. I came to New York, then a congregation there, to Memphis congregation. Just this morning, I was telling my wife, somebody sent me. He's so excited to see me. Wow. And I asked another reverend, said, this lady spoke, has come to America, wants to see Reverend Nisi. There are several people like that. I go, they want to see me. People give me money when they see me. And what is it? You pastored me before. This lady said, look, I've pastored here. Through me, she came to know Christ, and she got married in the church. Her husband is now a pastor. They are honored. They are blessed, and then wants to see me. I told my wife, I don't remember this girl. She's literally pestering my life. Wow. So I had to give a very non-committal answer. Oh, wow, you're in America. God bless you. It's good to hear from you. I hope you are enjoying yourself. Unfortunately, she sent her picture. Said, do I remember her? I don't remember her. I asked my wife, what should I do? What I'm saying is that, what a blessing. And that blessing of that anointing keeps blessing people like you and I. I want you to say thank you to God for that anointing. That anointing that caused you to have a pastor that you can rise up and pray. Alex, you would have been an alcoholic. Perhaps divorced. Yeah. Bible says that the yoke shall be taken from off your head, shoulders, and the yoke from off, the burden shall be taken off your shoulders, and the yoke from your neck, and the yoke shall be broken because of the anointing. Amen. Isaiah 10, verse 27. The anointing is something you need to honor. And respect is the presence of the Holy Spirit. David did that and was blessed. You will be blessed if you recognize the anointing. Everything spiritually that you will get from this pulpit, it comes because of the anointing. And the anointing is because one person obeyed and brought these pastors to train people like me and Lady Pastor, like Pastor Daniel, like Pastor Richard, to become pastors so that you can be guided and led. Oh, it's a good place to clap for the Lord Jesus. Yeah. David tore his shirt. He said, is it my Saul you're talking about? The anointed of God that you're talking about? You don't seem to understand the power of God. What it is that keeps all of us going. What it is that has kept this kingdom going. And he said, go on, next, yes. And they mourned and wept and fasted until evening for Saul and for Jonathan his son, for the people of the Lord and for the people of Israel. Because they had fallen by the sword. Verse 13. Then David said to that young man who told him, where are you from? And he said, I'm the son of an alien, an Amalekite. Then verse 14. And so David said to him, how was it that you were not afraid to put forth your hand to destroy the Lord's anointed? How was it that you were not afraid? And David did, verse 15. What did David do? Then David called one of the young men and said, go near and execute him. And he struck him that he died. Next verse. So David said to him, your blood is on your head and your own mouth has testified against you. I have killed the Lord's anointed. Ladies and gentlemen, this guy died because he disrespected the anointing on a man of God. You will live because you have honored the anointing on a man of God. The opposite will happen to you. Where you're supposed to die, you will live. Where you're supposed to be cursed, you will be blessed because you are honoring the presence of God on a man. Anointing. That's what I've decided to do, but I didn't want to do it alone. Without the people that I'm leading, like David, if I'm honored, you must be honored. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. Yeah. 1 Timothy, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in the word and doctrine. Let the elders who rule well, and this man rules well. This man, look, through him, we have 3,000 churches and counting. We have more than 3,000 pastors. We have congregations in the thousands, thousands and tens of thousands. I think we need to strengthen his hand. And not him, but the anointing upon his life. Because the Bible says Jesus Christ went various places and they disregarded him. Because of that, he could there do no miracles. When you recognize the anointing works better. I want our church to be the church that recognizes the anointing the most, and therefore the miracles work here the most in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And by that, I'm also by extension telling you, if you have a father, you need to honor the father. Your parents need to be honored because there's a grace on their lives. But I'm talking about spiritual parenting now and what comes to you. When you recognize the anointing. That anointing over there, that word rule, please, lady pastor, check, honor, click it on your, it means to put a value, to put value, to actually give payments. It's the Greek word time or time. Time is how it's spelled, but it's time in the Greek. Time. Pastor Daniel, what does it mean? It means?
It says a value by which the price is fixed.
Wow. What price are you going to be placing on the anointing of God? That the anointing, what value will you be placing on the anointing? Go on.
It says honor which belongs or is shown to one.
It's the honor you show to somebody and it belongs to him. The person is entitled to it.
Yes.
It says,
he can't see in his glasses.
A value, that is money paid or concretely and collectively valuables.
Wow, money's paid concretely and collectively as the way we value somebody. That means that when you want to honor people, sometimes you put money together and give to the person. Clap for the Lord Jesus again. I'm not saying it, the Bible is saying this. It says, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of putting monies together and giving to them to value their anointing and valuables. And you should do it double because they rule well. Let's obey this scripture. Next Sunday is Galatians 6:6. Sunday says that, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teaches in every good thing. So I'm asking you, recognize the presence of the Holy Spirit. The only person of the Trinity that is on earth is the Holy Spirit. Bible says that he bears record on this earth. If there's somebody you need to connect to the most, it's the Holy Spirit. And when you find the Holy Spirit on somebody, you better connect to it. Because God has given you a pastor after his heart. Like God gave David a man after God's own heart to lead Israel to kill the Goliath. Your Goliath is about to fall. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Because a David has recognized the anointing. The anointing, and it's telling you that actually connect to the anointing. All these podcasts and things you don't listen, you are not connecting. Yeah. And your Goliath is coming down in the name of Jesus Christ. Your Goliath is coming down. Your Goliath is coming down. What has tormented you for years, God is sending you an opportunity to invest in the anointing, in the Holy Spirit. Not the man, because a human being cannot do much for you. But it's the anointing that's upon his life that we are recognizing. We are telling the person, please allow the Holy Spirit to use you more. We recognize that indeed the Holy Spirit is operating in you. And David, you know, you will wonder that, but if the Holy Spirit, why are we talking about the man? Well, David did. He dealt with the man as he's dealing with the Holy Spirit. Touch not his anointed. And therefore, he honored him because it was God's anointing upon him. Therefore, I will not just look at the physical. Yeah, but I will look at the spiritual. So next week, I'm going to give all of you envelopes. Yeah, please get me some envelopes. And I want you, everyone, take one and put a note. Please share it. Father, as I lift these envelopes, may it connect us to your Holy Spirit through the anointing. Father, once a year, we want to celebrate the anointing that you placed upon Bishop Dagiwood Mills. Once a year, it's not too much to ask. Bless us to have the spirit of faith. Your word says it's something we need to do collectively or concretely, definitively. And we choose to do it, just like David, so that together we can say that we are favorites. For your word says David was a man after your heart. And one of the things he did was recognize the anointing you placed on the great original man of God who was the first king of Israel. Today we want to honor the first founder of Lighthouse as well, just like David did. Bless these envelopes and bless us as we come with our little notes, those who don't have money, and with our little monies, those of us who have, with our little checks or even giving towards the prophet's honor because of your anointing. Thank you that you will bless us to do so in Jesus' name. Amen. Please pass these envelopes around. Take one. And next week when you're coming, put in a gift. And let's come and honor the anointing. Please be quick. Be quick. Not too much order. Just distribute it as fast as you can. Amen. Just one place and then it's just put. Don't give one by one. Just put five here and then it goes on. Okay. Six or seven. And then it carries on. That's all. Okay. Six and then you carry it on. That's all. It will be easy. Hallelujah. Listen. As I'm doing this, remember, if you are a father, watch what you would do if your child doesn't honor you and despises you. Spiritually, we have fathers that we need to honor as well. And if we're doing it once a year, please do it. Please do it. Please do it. Please do it. My children still do not know my parents, but they have a very great respect because of the way we speak about them. It's a great blessing. Hallelujah. Please, let's pay attention. This is a very important moment. Everything else must cease. Very important moment. If you have not received one, please get it. And next week, God willing, we'll believe God. Ours is to pray for him, pray for the anointing upon his life, and to encourage him to do more. To do more. The work that he's doing. Every time he's preaching to us, encouraging us, praying for us, training, raising people to come. And God will bless us. May the Lord bless all of us. Rise to your feet with me. Rise to your feet. Put your hand on your heart. Tell the Lord, make me like David.
Help me to recognize the anointing. Help me to recognize the spirit upon our bishop, our pastor, our teacher, who's written many books, preached many sermons, raised many pastors to feed us. Today is my turn to communicate every good thing that I received. Help me, Father, to obey in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, with all eyes closed, all heads bowed, please, you are invited by somebody. You are in this church. Maybe this is your first time. Maybe you've been here before, but you do not want to leave without giving your life to Jesus Christ. Please, everybody, stay put. You do not want to leave without giving your life to Jesus Christ. You want to be sure that by the time you leave this place, if the rapture comes and Jesus comes, you will not be left behind. You will be caught up with him in heaven. Don't leave this place without making that commitment. And he wants to be with you after you give your life to Jesus. He will treat you like his son, as you should rightly be. And his covering shall be upon you. You want to give your life to Jesus? Just lift up your right hand and I'll pray a short prayer with you. You are here. You want to give your life to Jesus Christ. You want to be born again. You want to be born again. You want to give your life to Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You want to give your life to Jesus? Just lift up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Thank you. Nobody, let's pray together. Father, thank you for everyone that is here. Honor your people as we honor your anointing upon our prophet. Bless your people this week with a prayerful attitude in Jesus' name. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Please be seated. We want to take our communion quickly. As we do so, we want to prepare for our graduation ceremony. Hallelujah. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Today, Dwight is not here. Oh, and Jay are not here. So, Lady Pastor, do you... You're still going to do it? Okay. Let's take a communion quickly. The Bible says that communion is the table, the cup of blessing which we bless. As you partake of this, Jesus Christ said that I have desired with desire to eat this meal with you. Please bring it up in the book of Luke. I have desired with desire. This is one of the best expressions of Jesus Christ's love for you. I have desired with desire. I have desired with desire to eat this meal with you. Okay, Luke chapter 22, verse 15. Jesus said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. See the passion of Christ when you see the communion. See the passion of Christ. Russell, pay attention to what we're doing. Stop the screen. Okay. Now, Father, thank you that today your love, passionate love, is coming to your people in every way. Some need your love for protection, for comfort. Others need it for provision. Whatever it is that we need, express it. But very importantly, bring salvation to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Rise to your feet, please. Thank you, Father. Now hold the bread, which is the body. Say the body of Jesus Christ. The body of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now lift up the cup. Say the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And now lift up your hands for a prayer for my bishop. Please, close your eyes and just focus on Jesus as you receive this prayer.
Lift your hands for your blessing.
Thank you. Thank you for the blessing. He praying for us every Sunday.
God brought you from a far place. Mm.
Thank you.
But the journey is not over.
Thank you, Jesus.
There is more land. Mm. More years.
Amen.
Many more miles to go.
Amen.
Thank you.
For the years ahead.
Hallelujah.
May you have the wisdom.
Amen.
For the years ahead.
Amen.
May you have the grace.
Amen.
For what lies ahead.
I receive it.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Wherever you have come from, that is holding you connected to the past, that chain is.
We believe that the word of God has come through to you and you have been blessed. Come join our services at 5796 Shelby Oaks Drive this and every Sunday at 9:45 a.m. Be blessed.